Salut tout le monde, bienvenue à ce nouvel épisode du Faber-Cast. Je suis votre animateur Faber-Glass et puis cette semaine, on a deux très bons invités sur le podcast. On commence en force avec le champ des 155 et 170 livres TKO, Jesse the Body Snatcher Ronson. C'est une entrevue en anglais, mais il vient nous parler de son énorme combat contre Charles Jourdain qui va avoir lieu le 11 avril prochain au centre Claude Robillard. C'est vendu comme étant le plus grand combat dans l'histoire de TKO. Je suis absolument d'accord avec ça, Jesse aussi. Puis on parle de ce combat-là en longueur et de peut-être ce qui pourrait être next pour lui après ce combat-là, assumant qu'il gagne, bien sûr, c'est bien sûr ce que Jesse a en tête de gagner ce combat-là, ça, il n'y a pas vraiment de question à cet effet-là. Donc, on parle de ce qui pourrait être next ensuite. Je reçois aussi Alex Morgan sur le podcast. Le chum Alex n'a pas été vraiment très vocal depuis son combat contre Charles Jourdain, justement, en décembre de 2018. Mais on l'a sur le podcast cette semaine. Il vient nous parler de son nouveau projet qui est le Tristar Rive-Nord, son gym qui va ouvrir le 1er avril. Et puis, c'est ça, il vient nous parler de ça, de ce projet-là, et puis de ce que ça a apporté comme changement dans sa carrière, et puis nous parler du fait qu'il est focus à revenir se battre pour TKO dans le mois de juin. Donc, on parle de ça avec Alex. On parle aussi brièvement de Gaethje contre Barboza qui va avoir lieu en fin de semaine, moi puis Alex. On prend le temps de parler à quel point ça va être un combat absolument épique. Donc, bonne écoute à tous. Salut tout le monde, on est là avec le champ TKO, Jesse the Body Snatcher Ronson. Hey Jesse, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good, man. You know, I had a pretty rough weekend, but everything's better now.
What happened?
I got pretty sick on Friday. I don't know, I haven't been sick like this in a while, but I was out of commission Friday, Saturday, and most of yesterday, but, you know, the benefit of it is I'm under 170 pounds now.
Yeah, man, I guess that's the magic trick.
Yeah.
But how did it came to be? Just got sick, or you ate something, or you...
I don't know. I left wrestling practice early because I started feeling a little weird Friday night around 9:30, and... I just came home and it hit me like at 10 o'clock, boom. So, gone now. I was feeling a lot better Saturday, but stomach was still upset. But then Sunday, I felt okay. Now today, I'm going to be back at the gym.
Well, that's great, I guess, man. That's kind of a short break. And it must, it's good to take breaks, man. It's just good. I know you guys are, like, pushing it real hard in the gym because it's, like, last phase of your training camp and stuff. But, like... life just imposed a short break on you, and I guess it's going to be beneficial at the end.
Well, yeah, the plan was to take Saturday, Sunday off, so I guess it worked out. It was a perfect time to get sick.
Just couldn't enjoy your day, but fuck, shit happens. So, man, I'm glad that we get to speak today, man. It's been a while. We haven't spoke, I think, like, before your last fight against Michael Dufault. Which one fight of the year and was... great-ass fight, and everybody was quite happy to see it. And the fight which made you become a champ, 170 and 155 champ under TKO. And then you were supposed to go to the UFC, and then shit fucked up. So just to get back on it just a little, what happened there, man, exactly?
So after the Dufour fight, before that, like the very last day of April, I tore my hamstring, so I wasn't 100% going into that fight, but I couldn't turn that fight down. It was a perfect fight for me at 170. So I fought that fight, and my hamstring was still fucked up, so I had to rest. And after that fight, my manager told me, he's like, no, you got to stay in shape, you got to diet, you got to be ready. You'll never know what's going to happen for this December card, but I couldn't. I literally couldn't run, I couldn't do anything, and... obviously, after a fight, you don't want to keep dieting or anything like that. So I just kind of fell off the rails. And then about 3 or 4 weeks before the December fight, I was like, you know what? I think maybe something will happen. So I started training. And then about 10 days before the fight, my manager goes, yo, you got in. And at that time, I was 191 pounds. I was like, holy shit. There's no way I'm going to make... how am I going to make 155, right? So I said yes, and then I did a crash diet, which is a... the BCA crash diet that I do, and I managed to get down to 175 for the check-ins on Tuesday. But that was that morning. I woke up at 178.6. I did a workout, went there. I was 175. They could already tell I was drained. I talked to Clint, the PI nutritionist, and he's like, "Dude, there's no way you're gonna make 55. Let's be honest." He's like, "Maybe if you had more time." But now he's like, "Let's be real. You're gonna have to ask for a catch weight." So when I asked for a catch weight, Sean Shelby said no, and it's because we had been talking, and I said that I wouldn't need a catchweight just to, you know, get the Ontario Commission off my back. But then the commission was down for a catchweight, but at that time Sean Shelby had already made up his mind and said there's no way.
But why were they so harsh, man? Because you kind of, like, if a fight fell off, you went in, you, like, you kind of saved the day, I guess. Like, people were going to go down to Toronto to see you fight and shit. So yeah. Why were they so harsh and, like, immediately, like, took this shit off from you?
Maybe Sean Shelby doesn't like me. I know I found out that he doesn't like signing guys back. Like, if guys have been cut, he doesn't like re-signing people. And, my manager, had to jump through hoops and, do all these things to get me re-signed. And then Sean Shelby's like, it's all good, man. Just make sure that we don't have to do any extra work and show up on weight. And I gave him my word that there wouldn't be any problems. And I lied. So, I have to apologize to Sean Shelby for that because, he had to do a bunch of extra work. Sorry, my dog's licking my phone here. This guy's being an asshole.
No problem.
So he said, don't do any extra work. And sure enough, 2 days before weigh-ins, this happens. And, if he would have agreed to a catchweight, there wouldn't have been an issue. And I wanted 160 because I knew I could have done 160, but, I don't know what he was thinking for a catchweight, but he said no. So either way, good things happened. My buddy Kyle Nelson got the call and, he's fighting in May. So.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that one too. Kyle, he did good in that fight at the beginning. He did good, but shit went south. But fuck, man, he knew how many days before, like, not much. So it's kind of like, exactly. So it's gonna be his second first time, I guess, in Ottawa for Kyle. So we're looking forward to that. But damn, man, that sucks, man. That really bummed me out, like, to be honest, because that's been years that I've been saying that you shouldn't be fighting here. You shouldn't be fighting like these guys. And fuck, I hope, man, someday something happens. And you just, I guess if you just keep winning and you give them no choice, someday they're going to have to, like, one way or another. So I just hope it keeps going well for you. And I'm quite confident for you, man. Let's say you're...
I talked to my manager the other day about what could possibly be next, and I was like, I hope Sean Shelby's either forgotten or forgiven me. And the only thing he wrote back was, oh, he hasn't forgotten. So I was like, shit. So, yeah, like I said, maybe an impressive win. Show that I can make 155.0 and put on an impressive performance against, a hungry up-and-comer, 23 years old, Charles Jourdain, and really beat the fucking shit out of him, because that's my motivation for this fight, is because I know they watch the UFC Fight Pass events. I know they like Charles Jourdain, his flashy style. He's got 8 finishes, and he's young. So if I, go out there and I make weight and I really, really whoop this fucking kid's ass, like, real bad, I know they'll change their mind. So he's got a whole different kind of Jesse Ronson coming at him, because that's my motivation. Like, the goal is to get back to the UFC, and he's what's standing in my way, right? And, like, he's that test. He's like, yo, to me, he's like, go ahead, smash this guy, and we'll reconsider. So he's in a world of trouble.
Yeah, just before we move on from the UFC stuff to that fight, just wanted to ask, I know you're a crazy fuck, so I just wanted to know, if you just went to the check-in and nobody said shit, were you trying that weight cut?
I would have tried, yeah. to be honest, I don't know if I would have made 55, but I definitely would have gave it everything I had.
Yeah, so it's kind of a blessing you didn't try it, because fuck, man, that would have been like a real, real rough one. And we don't like, and I feel like at this stage, man, more divisions are going to be added soon enough. So I feel like weight cutting is, like, not dying, because people are still cutting a shit ton of weight. But I think slowly mentality is going to change towards this. So it just might have been a blessing for you not to do that stupid ass weight cut and just... Fuck, man, what would have happened the day after him and fighting another, like, ultra-tough Brazilian guy that all that already popped because of some steroids and stuff, like, in the past, and you would have been drained as fuck as you tried to cut, like, fucking 30 pounds and shit. So I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise, and you're, like, kind of back in the role of the guy who always gets... the prospect that the UFC wants to sign. So, like, if you keep trashing guys they want, I feel like they have no choice. So now let's move on from that shit, because that's not fun shit. We want to talk about fun shit now. And that's that fight. Jesse Ronson, Charles Jourdain. It's been dubbed as like the biggest fight in TKO history. And I agree, man. Really, I agree. Because I've been saying it for years, like, you're one of the most complete and accomplished athlete that we have in Canada in the TKO roster. And Charles, you gotta give him what he's got, man. That guy is unpredictable, and he's been tearing through competition lately. And he's like the guy that people from Quebec have hope that he'll become one day, like the big star from Canada, the next, I wouldn't say the next GSP because of style differences, let's say, but like the next big star from Canada. So fuck, man, how did this come about, man? I'm pretty sure you didn't ask for that fight. It probably got proposed to you, but how did this come about?
He was supposed to call me out a long time ago, after his Will Romero fight. Stefan said, you know what, Charles Jourdain wants to call you out, and he said he wants to really test himself, and he wants you. He said, can you come down? So I drove down with a bunch of guys, and he fought Will Romero and never called me out. So I was like, well, guy chickened out. He must, you know, I saw him in the lobby afterwards, and, you know, maybe he was like, oh, this guy's too big, or maybe he thought he would have an easier time against Will Romero, like a really high-level striker, and was like, you know what, this will set the tone. Either way, it didn't happen. You know, fast forward to a year and a half later, and in January, Stefan's like, yo, I have a super, super fight for you. I'm like, okay, who is it? I'm like, is it a UFC vet? And he goes, no, it's a super, super fight. I'm like, well, it's not going to be Joe Meunier, because we've been going after that for a long time. And I'm like, it has to be Charles Jourdain. And then he goes, yeah, exactly. I'm like, okay, so when are we doing this? He said, April. And I'm like, is he actually going to do it this time? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, are you sure he's going to do it this time? And he guaranteed me he was going to do it, and we've made it this far. So here we go. Charles Jourdain for the second time calling me out. And at least this time he's sticking to it.
Yes. So, man, what's the read on that fight? Like, big weight difference, of course, but...
Yeah, I'll probably come in between 175 and 180, and he'll probably be, you know, 160, if that. I don't know. I don't know a guy that comes and fights at 145 and weighs in at 143. Like, if you have to weigh 45.0 or 55.0, you're not cutting more weight. There's just nobody out there that's going to be like, yeah, let's go ahead and cut an extra fucking kilo. Get the fuck out of here. No way. So I know, like, when he fought Kevin Jenneroy, I think he weighed in at 149 or 150. He didn't look drained. He didn't look anything. So I bet he walks around 155. He might have put on a little bit of size. But ultimately, I think this kid should be fighting at 135, not 155. But, hey, if he wants to test himself, and, you know, maybe he's got a sick, twisted little thing in his head that he loves getting spanked. Maybe his mom didn't do it enough, because I'm going to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, but I think it's public, because when... there was, like, when the last card was supposed to happen, there was an injury, and he kind of said that he would step in to fight against, I think, Julien Leblanc, who is an 85er. Oh, yeah. And he wrote, like, on the text that he posted, that I think it was 158 at that time, yeah. I think a month ago. So, yeah, he's kind of on the lean side of 55. I know he's working like hard in the gym to try to pack some pounds, because he told me that he didn't want it to be like a 35er, really. He wanted like to grow into a 45er, but I think that's the way it's going. He's quite on the lean side at that time, I guess. I think it's public.
I like that he was like, yeah, I'll fight Julien Leblanc. I'm like, you realize that he's taking a fight at 185. He's not just going to all of a sudden be like, yeah, let's do it at 70. You know, it's like me taking a fight at 170 and all of a sudden 2 weeks before somebody going, hey, let's do it at 55. I'll be like, no fucking way. I'm fighting at 170. I'm not prepared to make 155. But, you know, I like that he threw his name out there. Maybe that gave him a little more, you know, street cred or whatever the fuck it is. But, I don't think that was smart. I'm like, he's already moving up a weight class to fight me. Why is he going to move up three weight classes to fight Julien Leblanc? Even though he had a horrible, horrible showing against Damian Lapolis, the last fight that he had. But I don't know what Charles was thinking. But good on him. I like that he's got these balls now.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's kind of his gimmick, I'd say, because... Yeah, he's a crazy fuck, like, and picking his fights, like, you're not an easy fight. Challenging an 85er is kind of crazy. Even Alex Morgan, like, there's not a big lineup to fight that guy, too. So he always been taking the biggest fight possible. I think it's really in his mentality, so I'm pretty sure he's gonna come like in there with a warrior spirit and try everything he can do. But like, I feel in Quebec, like, people are kind of taking for granted that you're gonna get KO'd in the first round. So, like,
me? Yeah, I'm gonna get KO'd in the first
round. Yeah, people are like, there was polls and shit on La Voix des Guerriers, and I think it's like 60 to 30, man. People like really believe that, like, because of your last fight, they feel like you're gonna get KO'd in that fight. So, what do you say to these people, man?
I love it. I love that people are banking on my last fight. You got to remember, like, when you tear a hamstring, it takes 6 months to a year just to repair it. I was already fighting within that six-month period. So obviously, it's like you're fighting on one leg. I fought Michael Dufour on one leg. Like, I couldn't even put in a training camp. Like, I had to be the jiu-jitsu. I couldn't really do it because there's a lot of leg locks and stuff in that. Striking, there's a lot of angles and movement. Like, I was literally a stationary guy my whole training camp. I couldn't run. That's why I had to fight at 170. So I'm glad that everybody's banking on my last fight, because they're going to be, you know, unpleasantly surprised with what they see. You know, even Joe Mounier got, like, courage, and he said, you know what, I want to fight Ronce in June or something like that after that, because he's like, after I saw that Dufour fight, and I was like, oh, please, thank God. Like, finally, doors are fine. Like, that fight opened up doors for me for guys that I've been wanting to fight forever. But, you know, the one thing that I want to say with this is that the Quebec fans, I really enjoy that they're all getting involved in it. Like, you know, in Ontario, they don't do that. We could make a poll in Ontario and only Ontario people could vote. You might get like 16 votes and they would be random. Whereas for Quebec, I'm glad that everybody's involved and everybody's on board, because the more they're invested, the better this fight's going to do. And, you know, I don't mind playing the bad guy. Like, I've said it before, I have no problems going in there and absolutely destroying Charles Jourdain in his hometown in front of all his people and family. You know what? I'll pick him up by his freaking head and hold it in front of everybody, being like, is this your hero? Like, I don't fucking care. And whether they cheer me or boo me, as long as they're invested, I fight just as well.
Are you thriving in that, though? I feel like you like it. Like, the Dufour fight, there was barbs here and there, but it was playful. And I know for a fact Dufour is one of my good friends, and I know for a fact that, like, before that fight, he always been saying, fuck, man, Jesse Ronson is one of my favorite fighters. So he kind of was having fun throwing little barbs, but there was no, like, mean intentions.
That was a fun time.
Yeah, exactly. There was no mean intentions behind any of that. But, like, I feel this fight, people are invested, like, really invested in Quebec. It's been dubbed as the biggest fight in company's history. And, man, I feel like it might be. It won't be the biggest venue, but I guess that will be even better, because, fuck, man, this place will be packed as shit, man. Yeah, easily.
I think it's the biggest fight in TKO history. Like, you get, like, everybody's like, well, what about GSP? Yeah, I'm like, GSP fought in TKO, what, once? Maybe twice?
Yeah,
welterweight back in the day. That was, you're just fighting for a title, you know what I mean? Same with Patrick Cote, he just fought for titles against guys. You know, Mark Hominick defended his title 7-8 times. Same with Sam Stout, like, those were just title fights. There's never been a fight where a champion has taken on a double champion, right? There's no way a 45er has never moved up to fight a 55 champion, let alone moved up to fight a 55 and 170 champion. So when you put that on the bill, you know, we're both like four or five fights deep in TKO. I think you might have more. Like, we're stable names, and, like, it's huge. You're right. There's nothing that's ever going to top this. The only way that this fight's getting beat is if it's like champ versus champ, right? Like, and I don't, there's, how is that going to happen? That's going to have to be like the 45 and 55 versus the 70 and 85 or something like that. There's no way a fight like this can come together without it being billed the biggest fight, because technically it is. Like, it's Ontario versus Quebec, which is the rivalry that TKO has always had. And then it's their champion versus, you know, Ontario's champion. Right. So it's the money fight to make. I'm glad I'm a part of it.
Yeah, and it's polarizing figures. You're like, you like to talk your shit. You like to say publicly you're gonna destroy that kid. He's not doing the trash talking, but he's the guy that people have gone behind, like, since TKO has came back, and the guy that has been pushed by the promotion to as, like, the go-to guy, the guy that you want to put in main events and big fights. Even if he wasn't in title fight, he was always fighting, like, the other household name, like the Kevin Généreux, Matarlo, people that, like, people want to see fight, and it was always in these biggest fights. So yes, it's like, is the, I think it's the credential to best athletes presently from each province. I know that there's a lot of good Ontario fighters, there's a lot of good Quebec fighters, but man, if that guy beats you somehow, he's into the UFC, his next fight, that's for sure. There's nobody that can hold him back if he's able to do this. And I feel it's the same for you, but I've been feeling that way this is the past five years, like, basically. So it's on paper, it's the polarizing figures that everybody are looking to, everybody want to see fight, and it's like, timing is perfect. People got, like, there's Ella Bells involved in that fight, so man, you're right, man. It's the biggest fight, and the venue, it will be, I feel like it will be awesome, because it's more like La Tohue than Centre Bell, so it's going to be smaller, it's going to be packed, and people, man, they're going to be involved as fucked in that fight, and there's a good undercard, like, to lead to that. I know that, like, I spoke with Michael Dufort, and he's sick and tired of hearing of your fights, because all interviews he's been doing, he's been asked about Ronson against Jourdain, Ronson against Jourdain. He's not been asked about Damien Lapillus at all, but there's still that fight that is gonna be fireworks, like, one way or another. Because Dufault, Dufault is a crazy fuck. You've seen it, like, harder you hit him, he just want to run after you and, like, just take more to try to give. And Lapillus, he's more of a, like, let's say, a technical fighter, but he knows his way, man. That guy's been around the block, like, many times, so
there's, he's got as many fights, more fights than I do.
Yeah, so. And there's fucking Malcolm and Yoni, which is, like, absolutely...
That's going to be a crazy fight. That's a fight that I'm looking forward to, is that one. And, like, I really wish it wasn't on the same card as me, because that's one that I actually want to sit back and watch, not, like, be in the back, and I'll have to be warming up while it's happening, and I might miss something. That's a fight that I've wanted to watch. But, yeah, man, this card's actually, it's pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not pretty good. It's fucking awesome. So, like I said, it's not just the biggest fight in TKO history. It might even be one of the biggest cards. It just, I don't know if Cyril Gane's going to be on it, but, it could definitely match. What's that?
I guess he's going to be on it. They still haven't announced any name, but he's on the posters and shit. So, I guess there's no choice. Hey, what's up?
My dog keeps licking my phone. He hears it, and he keeps licking my phone. He's being a weirdo.
Yeah, mine is sleeping there. Look.
This guy's just a big weirdo.
Yeah. But now let's just, I know you guys don't like to look after fights and shit, but I know that You're the type of guy that as soon as this fight's gonna be done, people are gonna say, now let's see Ronson against Meunier, let's see Ronson against X. So, what happened, like, if you win, do you give Joe Meunier his chance, or, like, is it past for him?
You know, it's never passed. I'm always looking for guys to fight, and it's just upsetting that, you know, it took forever for Joe Meunier to grow a pair and fight me. What's going to bother me most is that I'll probably fight him in the cage if he comes in the cage that night, because I've been trying to fight him for the last year and a half. So if, you know, Stefan thinks it's a good idea to bring him in the cage so we can square off, like, the way I'm seeing it is, like, holy shit, I finally got this guy in the fucking cage. I will probably punch him in the face. And, you know, my cornerman, Adam Higson, is crazier than I am. And I know he'll try and fight too. Like, it's going to be hell, because literally if – he might even pull out after this fight, just being like, oh shit, what the hell did I do? So if he fucking thinks he's going to come into the cage without getting into a fight, he's wrong. I will fight him. So Stefan, if you're watching this podcast, do not bring Joe Meunier into the cage, because I will try to fight him if you bring him into the cage, because that will be my golden opportunity, because who the fuck knows what's going to happen after this fight? This is technically my last fight on my TKO contract. So with my manager, we're going to see what, like, TKO pays me well. So obviously, if, you know, Rizin or 1FC or UFC doesn't want me, I'm going back to the UFC, and that's the fight to make. But, man, like, when you're amped up after winning a fight, they bring in – it's not like I've ever had anything against Joe Meunier. He's just the guy to beat, you know what I mean? The UFC vet coming in, great record, 10-1. I've just wanted to fight him. I'm that guy that wants to test myself. I don't fucking hate him. You know, I like his – like, Nordin, a great fucking guy. He's one of my favorite fighters, you know. All the guys that he hangs out with are great guys. And I never had anything against him except for the fact that he was just that guy. So fucking test yourself. Fight me. Like, what do you fight for if you don't want to fight, you know, 55ers or whatever? Like, suck it up and fight. You know, be like Charles Rodin. Just fucking fight already. and it fires me up that you know, I know that that's the next fight. So it's either, I don't know, it's the winner of Dufour or Lapolis or Meunier, which is going to happen in June. We'll see, unless another promotion takes me, which, you know, for me right now, it's all about money.
Yeah, but Dufour and Lapolis, I'm not sure about that because I'm pretty sure Dufour's winning that one, and I don't want to see, like, that rematch now with Dufour, man.
I agree. Not right away, but I could see it. It could happen maybe later on. Like, if he gets two more wins at 55 at the end of the year card, it could happen. So, I don't know. If Lapolis wins, then, yeah, I can see that. But I don't see Lapolis winning because, you know, Dufour had a fire under his – like, it lit a fire under his ass after I beat him. And, like, even in the change room, like, I could just see the determination in his face that he wanted to get back and get better. And, you know, he's been training real hard. I follow him on Instagram. We talk every once in a while, and – yeah, he's been a supporter of mine. Like, when I was in the UFC, like, he would send me messages, or when I got signed to the UFC, he'd send me messages like, oh, you better fucking smash this guy, Ronson, you know, I'm pulling for you. And, you know, we talk here and there, you know, I really like the kid. So, you know, I want him to win, but you're right. Having just lost to me and then beating one guy doesn't, you know, warrant another title shot at 55. But, again, we'll see what happens. I'd be glad to, you know, vacate, if I got signed somewhere, vacate the title so he could fight for it or whatever else, right?
Yep. Last question regarding Meunier. If he's there, he's like front row, but he doesn't come into the cage, do you eagle bear smash him?
Eagle bear smash him? I'm not going to jump over the cage. No, I got a little more sense than that. The only way I'm going after him is if he comes into the fucking cage. He knows better than that. Like, it's my night. I just fought the biggest fight in TKO history. You know, if he wants to do something, you know, don't fucking come and steal my shine. You've had four opportunities by my count. The way Stephan Patry said it is that every time that he said no to a fight, he extended his contract by 6 months. And at the time where he had last asked Meunier to fight me, his contract had been extended by 30 months, which is a ridiculous amount of time. It's like almost 3 years, 2.5 years his contract got extended by. So it's just like, dude, you've had multiple times to get in that cage, like opportunities to get in that cage with me. There's no need to do it tonight. You know, we'll face off. You know, if Stefan wants to bring me down in May when they do the next show, we can square off in the ring then, but not on that night. When I've already got my fucking gloves on and my fight shorts on, I'm in fight mode, like, he's going to eat the three-piece and soda is what he's going to get.
Oh, shit, man. And, like, I really want to see you in TKO, man. You know it. And, like, if you leave after that fight, if you win and you leave for another promotion, I'd be sad. But still, I think I got a dream fight, man, in my mind. That would be absolutely fucking amazing. And it would be in one. And it would be Jesse Ronson against Super Sage Northcutt. Not for the fight, just for the build-up, man. I just want to see him call you Mr. Ronson and be fucking polite and you just trashing him. That would be like a dream of mine, man, just to see like that build-up, the way like that dynamic between you guys, because he seems like quite a character and fuck.
And if you be...
Yeah, oh, you could fuck
184, because in one FC, welterweight goes from, you got to weigh in between 170 and 184, that's it. But it's like, whatever weight you're at when you get there is the weight that you're fighting at. So I think his lightweight for one FC is 154 to 170, and then welterweight's 170 to 184. It's all weird. So, yeah, I don't, that'd be an interesting fight. I would take it for sure, but,
yeah, and there's,
yeah, I don't know what weight.
Yeah, and there's Alvarez too back there, which that would be a classic. That would be a fucking classic.
I've been wanting to fight that guy ever since I saw him fight in when Chad Dupree fought Ainsley Robinson in Bellator. I was standing side by side, and back then I wasn't as big as I am now, and I was like, "That's fucking Eddie Alvarez. Get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck's this midget?" They say he's 5'8", but I swear to God, he came up to here at the time. Maybe I was standing on his step or something, but he was fucking tiny, and I was like, man, I'd love, just his fighting style would just play perfect. We would have an instant classic if Eddie Alvarez and I fought, for sure.
Yeah, so don't leave, but if you leave, go to one and fight these guys. That would be like the best thing ever for me. And that'd be a reason to stay up like at 1 or 2 a.m. to watch a stupid fight card on the internet. I'd do that shit if you were fighting like one of these two guys back there.
It's all up to my manager. He's got connections in Rizin. He's got PFL, you know, that the one that does the $1 million tournament.
Yeah.
Obviously he's got major connections with the UFC, so that's the ultimate goal. We just gotta see how this fight plays out. We take it one fight at a time, and making weight is the number one priority. And then after that, it's easy to just flip the switch and a kill and literally tear some French kid's head off.
Yeah. Man, I thank you for taking time, and that was great. And fuck, we'll see you fight week and shit. And your dog is barking, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's crazy. Yeah, so, man, thank you for taking the time. That was great. And, man, I look forward to seeing that fight. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait. It's soon. And fuck, I'm just, I can't wait. I just can't wait. I don't even know what. Yeah. So, man, I'll see you there. I'll see you in Montreal, man, and thank you very much.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thanks.
Yeah, see you, man. What's up, tout le monde? On est avec mon autre invité cette semaine. C'est le chum Alex Morgan. Il se passe plein d'affaires. Puis je voulais qu'on prenne le temps un peu de parler de lui parce que il y a une nouvelle aventure qui va commencer dans sa vie, dans vraiment pas long. En fait, ça commence aujourd'hui même, le jour que le podcast sort. T'sais, le lundi juste après, fait que bang, ça start. Puis je voulais qu'on en parle avec, je voulais qu'on ait la chance de nous en parler, de nous expliquer c'était plus. C'était quoi ce grand projet-là, pis tout. Fait que. Qu'est-ce qui se passe avec toi, mon Alex, man?
Ben, j'ai été pas mal silencieux là, sur les derniers mois là, depuis mon combat contre Jourdain, dans le fond. J'ai pas trop parlé, mais j'avais bien des affaires en tête à régler pour moi, pas parce que dans le fond, j'avais besoin d'un projet personnel. Je sais pas si vous le savez, mais j'avais un gym avant qui était Gladiateur MMA avec Pascal. Puis finalement, le gym, il a fallu qu'on le ferme pour une histoire, whatever. Puis là, j'ai décidé j'avais des combats qu'il fallait que je lâche, comme le combat contre Laramie. Après ça, j'ai eu le camp d'entraînement contre Jourdain. Fait quand on fait des camps d'entraînement, on n'a pas trop le temps de s'occuper des autres affaires qu'il y a autour de ça parce qu'on est focus sur nos combats. Puis mon dernier combat, ben j'avais pas toute ma tête là parce qu'il me manquait quelque chose. Puis quand dans le fond, mon combat est terminé, ben, tu sais, quand on s'entraîne deux fois par jour, c'est pas pire, on est occupé. Mais quand mon combat est fini, ben là, à un moment donné, je suis assis chez nous et je dis si je fais rien dans le fond, tu sais, oui, on s'entraîne, mais j'ai pas de combat. Fait que c'est là que je me suis rendu compte, j'ai dit ben moi je veux un gym, tu sais, j'ai le temps là. Là, j'ai le temps d'en partir un. Puis j'ai décidé d'en partir un. Puis de fil en aiguille, dans le fond, dans le processus, j'avais tout pour pouvoir. Toutes les cartes étaient sur la table pour pouvoir partir un bon gym. Puis c'est ça, j'ai eu l'opportunité de partir un TriStar gym. Dans le fond, j'avais parlé à Fieraz au travers tout ce processus-là. Puis j'ai décidé de saisir l'opportunité. Puis c'est ça, dans le fond, moi, je pars le nouveau gym, TriStar Gym Rive-Nord, qui va ouvrir à Mirabel d'ici. Mais dans le fond. Aujourd'hui, je pense, là, dans le fond, pour c'est lundi le 1er avril. Fait que là, je suis vraiment excité de ce projet-là. Puis ça fait, je te dirais, 3 mois et demi qu'on travaille là-dessus. On travaille très, très fort. Puis j'essaie de livrer le gym par excellence sur la Rive-Nord, un gym sacoche. Parce qu'il va y avoir des entraînements de qualité, des entraîneurs de qualité, pas juste moi, évidemment. Je vais essayer de faire venir des gars aussi. Puis on a une belle affiliation avec le TriStar. Donc c'est quelque chose de bien qui s'en vient pour la Rive-Nord. Puis pour tous ceux qui veulent pratiquer les arts martiaux dans mon bout, là.
Yes, ça a l'air de quoi? Parle-nous genre du local, il est où? Quel genre de grandeur? C'est de quoi de vraiment ça à coche, là?
C'est pas de quoi d'énorme. C'est un local de 2500 pieds carrés fait sur 2 étages. Ce qui est fou, c'est qu'il est direct sur le bord de l'autoroute 15. Fait que je vois ma grosse affiche TriStar sur le bord de la 15. Beaucoup de visibilité. Tu sais, je veux pas. Avec mon palmarès, je vais chercher quand même beaucoup de monde. Puis avec le nom TriStar qui ouvre sur la Rive-Nord, ça va chercher encore plus de monde. Fait que je pense que c'est quelque chose de bien pour moi parce que après le combat, on se remet en question. Je me suis remis en question. Puis je me suis dit, qu'est-ce que j'ai vraiment envie de faire dans la vie? Bon, ben moi, ce que je veux faire, c'est des combats. Puis si je veux faire des combats, ben faut que je baigne dans le domaine. Fait que c'est là que j'ai dit, bon, ben je pars un gym. Ça va me permettre de. Un, d'avoir un revenu constant qui va me permettre de m'entraîner comme un professionnel tout le temps. Ce qui me manquait les 6 derniers mois, tu sais, je veux pas, quand on n'a pas nécessairement un revenu stable ou quelque chose de stable, ça nous joue un peu dans la tête, tu sais. Moi, j'ai des choses à payer, tu sais, j'ai une maison à payer, j'ai une couple de choses à payer. Fait que c'est ça, fait qu'il me fallait quelque chose de stable par rapport à ça. Puis en plus, je me suis rendu compte qu'en ayant un gym, tu sais, je n'ai pas eu pendant 6 mois, puis j'ai vu une différence côté motivation, puis côté, pas juste la motivation, mais tu sais, de pouvoir être chez nous, pouvoir m'entraîner à temps plein, tu sais. Dans le fond, j'arrive au gym, je travaille là, bon, ben, tu sais, si je suis au gym, qu'est-ce que je fais? Bon, ben, let's go, on se claque un 12 rounds de bague. Après ça, bon, ben, cours le soir, OK, cours de jiu-jitsu, roule avec les gars après. Fait que je m'en rendais pas compte jusqu'à temps que j'aille plus ce gym-là, mais ta tabarnak que j'étais en forme dans ce temps-là, tu sais, en voulant dire, je peignais dans le sport, puis je trippais, là, tu sais, des fois, on a tendance à oublier ce qui se passe autour, puis on oublie la chance qu'on a, ben, en ayant ce step-back-là, tu sais, en ayant plus de gym pendant 6 mois, puis en plus, en ayant une défaite, ben, tu sais, ça réveille, man, tu sais, tu te rends compte, OK, il y a des choses qu'il faut qu'ils changent, puis que j'ai besoin pour pouvoir performer au plus haut niveau, fait que, dans le fond, c'est toutes ces... Là, je t'en parle vite, mais c'est tous des thinking que j'ai eus après mon dernier combat qui m'ont allumé puis qui m'ont motivé, man. Puis là, dans le fond, je finis mon gym. Il va être prêt le 1er avril. Puis j'ai déjà commencé à m'entraîner pas mal, tu sais. On n'en parle pas beaucoup, mais tu sais, là, j'ai changé d'entraîneur aussi. Dans le fond, j'étais encore avec Firas Zabi, mais je suis avec aussi Donald Ouimet. Puis j'en parle pas beaucoup, mais Donald, il m'entraîne en ce moment 3 fois par semaine en privé avec Simon Lagarde. Je m'entraîne aussi avec Simon Lagarde, d'ailleurs, c'est son entraîneur aussi. Fait que on s'entraîne vraiment intense, puis je suis bien motivé pour faire mon retour au TKO en juin. On l'a dit ouvertement, moi c'est mon comeback en juin. Ça va m'avoir laissé le temps de pouvoir focusser sur mon gym, faire les choses comme il faut. Puis après ça, partir sur un bon camp d'entraînement. T'sais, dans le fond, le monde peut-être qu'il pense que je m'entraîne pas, mais en ce moment, je m'entraîne tous les jours, des fois 2 fois par jour. Mais au moins, en n'étant pas en camp, mais t'sais, comme demain, on est vendredi, normalement, c'est sparring au TriStar. J'aurais pas le choix d'y aller si je suis en camp. Là, je peux me permettre de dire, bon, ben, gars, j'ai pas le temps d'y aller demain, il faut que je focus sur mon gym. Fait que c'est vraiment ça que je voulais faire. J'y vais une chose à la fois. Là, je focus sur mon gym. Le 1er avril, ça l'ouvre, donc lundi. À partir de lundi, ben là, man, on tombe en gros camp d'entraînement. Puis mon adversaire, il est mieux d'être prêt parce que je vais sacrer une sale volée au prochain combat.
Gros, c'est ça que je veux entendre. C'est bon, je trouve ça que justement, t'as des affaires pour t'occuper et tout. Parce que Chris, c'est ce qui est arrivé au dernier combat, first, esti. Personne qui aurait pu voir ça arriver. C'est des affaires qui arrivent juste pas, là, en fait, là, dans c'est la ça, vie ben, en général.
Pis... C'est ça.
Là, Chris, moi, c'est bon, t'as le temps de t'occuper, man. T'as le temps de te partir un projet, quelque chose qui a comme meublé ton temps, tes pensées. Puis je pense que c'est ça qui est important, justement, pour des gars comme vous autres, de pas. Que Chris, que la vie s'arrête pas là, justement, après une défaite de
même. Non, c'est parce ça. Que... Puis tu sais, j'ai été chanceux aussi, parce que tu sais, veux pas, dans une défaite comme ça, tu sais. Je pensais pas lâcher, mais tu sais, j'ai été chanceux d'avoir un je me suis rendu compte que j'avais un sale bon entourage. Tu sais, j'ai vraiment beaucoup de monde qui me supporte. Puis, autant mes commanditaires, ma famille, mes amis, ma copine, tout le monde me supporte là-dedans. Puis, je pouvais pas juste back-up. Tu sais, c'est des choses qui arrivent. Une défaite comme ça, ça peut arriver comme pour n'importe qui. Tu sais, ça peut arriver à n'importe qui. Puis, c'est sûr que, tu sais, sur le coup, ça fait chier, mais on se le cachera pas. On s'entraîne tellement fort pour des combats, puis quand ça finit comme ça, on est déçu, mais regarde, ça arrive à tout le monde des défaites, puis la manière, tu sais, je pense que cette défaite-là est pas arrivée pour rien, puis en y pensant bien comme il faut, ben regarde, j'ai fait un step back, mais là, cette année, j'explose, là, c'est cette année que je m'en vais au top, là, puis regarde, tout dépendant comment ça se passe cette année, moi, c'est sûr que je veux mon rematch contre Jourdain. Le monde, ils disent, ouais, ben, Morgan va perdre contre Jourdain. Écoute, calmez-vous, là, les chicos, là, je m'en reviens, puis on va voir comment ça va se passer. Là, t'sais, le monde peut penser ce qu'ils veulent. On n'est jamais meilleur que son dernier combat. Mais regarde, le 28 juin, je vais me battre, puis je vais montrer à tout le monde de quoi je suis capable, puis ils vont se souvenir de c'est quel le vrai Alex Morgan. Puis après ça, ben, j'explose, puis cette année, ça se passe. Puis j'ai bien l'intention de avoir cette ceinture-là autour de ma tête d'ici le 31 décembre.
C'est ça qu'on veut entendre, esti, parce que c'était un gros fight, ça, mon gars, là, Morgan contre Jourdain, puis un rematch, ou peu importe, n'importe quelle affaire, on sait pas ce qui peut arriver, ça peut être... N'importe qui d'autre, lui, il peut battre Ronson puis partir dans l'UFC comme il peut perdre puis retourner défendre sa belt. Fait que, tu sais, peu importe, c'est bon de savoir qu'il y a des gars qui ont faim, esti, puis qui sont là parce que veux pas, man, tu restes. Chris, si c'est rendu lui le numéro 1 au Canada, tu dois être le numéro 2, là. Je pense que c'est indéniable, t'as comme pété le numéro 3 assez sauvagement 2 fois. Fait que, je pense pas que ça va te prendre bien plus qu'une belle victoire convaincante pour te remettre, esti, dans la voie
non,
d'aller.
Non, c'est ça, puis tu sais, veux pas, on l'a vu au Centre Bell, hein. Jourdain Morgan, ça l'a mis des culs sur les bancs. Tu sais, je veux dire, on l'a tout vu, là. Tu sais, ça n'a pas été le TKO le plus rempli, mais faut pas oublier que dans ce gala-là, il y avait un combat de championnat, pas 4 comme d'habitude. Puis Chris, on l'a quand même rempli, le Centre Bell, puis je le sais pas, là, mais moi, je trouve qu'il y avait de l'ambiance en salle pendant ce combat-là.
Oh, c'était incroyable, man.
C'était fou, tu sais. Moi, quand je suis rentré, j'ai senti, j'ai filé le vibe. C'était écœurant, puis c'était un moment que j'oublierai jamais de ma vie. Puis ça, je le dis, je le répète, là, tu sais, ça a été incroyable. Mais c'est là que je me suis dit, ben écoute, man, c'est pas la dernière fois que je vais revivre ça. Là. On s'en va au top, puis on va le revivre ce moment-là, puis on va aller chercher une grosse victoire la prochaine fois. Là. Je pense que Morgan Jourdain, avec une grosse victoire de ma part, je pense que ça va être le combat que le monde va vouloir voir. Je vois pas qui est 145 va aller se pogner contre moi ou contre Jourdain. Je pense que il faut juste que j'aie une grosse victoire. Puis tout dépendant de lui, comment ça se passe avec Ronson, puis on va faire ce rematch-là. Je suis bien motivé pour ça, je le cope pour ça, mais comme je dis, je vais étape par étape. Fait qu'on va commencer par le combat du 28 juin, puis après ça, on verra qu'est-ce qui va se passer.
Yes, t'as-tu quelqu'un encore? T'as-tu un nom pour le 28? Quoi qui est officiel?
Ah, j'ai un nom, man. J'ai pas mal mon nom, mais écoute, je peux pas trop vous le dire. Je peux pas l'annoncer publiquement. Là, je vais laisser tes calls faire. Là, mais je pense que c'est pas mal coulé dans le béton. Je l'ai, mon adversaire, pour le 28. Puis je vous donne un indice, comme Stéphane, vu qu'il l'a dit aussi à un autre podcast, c'est un Brésilien. Fait que, puis il s'est déjà battu chez TKO, donc... What's up, man?
ça donne une coupe d'idées, man. Sinon, moi, une dernière petite affaire. Je le sais, toi, là, t'as ton gym, t'as plein d'affaires. Je sais pas jusqu'à quel point tu t'es tenu au courant des patentes. Mais en fin de semaine, il y a un esti classique in the making qui va avoir lieu là, dans l'UFC. Ça va être un combat absolument attardé mental. Je voulais savoir ton opinion là-dessus, autant bref qu'elle va peut-être être. Justin Gaethje contre Edson Barboza. À quoi qu'on s'attend, man?
Man, ça, moi, je m'attends à un call premier round, là, ce combat-là. T'sais, on s'entend à Justin Gaethje, là. Moi, je pense que, gamin, ce qui peut arriver, c'est que Barboza, man, il surprenne avec un bon kick, un bon genou, whatever. Mais ce qui peut arriver aussi, c'est que Barboza, il essaye ses choses. Ils vont commencer, je pense que ça va y aller intense d'une shot. Ça va pas être un slow starter. Ça va commencer à se rentrer dedans. Je pense que plus que ça va être long, plus que ça va aller du côté à Gaethje. C'est un malade mental, ce gars-là. Il s'en fout, man. Écoute, il va manger probablement. Si Barboza ne note pas avec un de ses kicks, même s'il l'aime et il n'a pas, oublie ça, man, Gaethje va le traverser, je suis sûr. Là, il va comme prendre le kick, il va dire, bon, ben, let's go, man, on échange, puis il va y rentrer dedans. T'sais. Fait que je pense pas que ça va être un slow starter. Je pense que ça va starter assez intensif. Puis honnêtement, man, premier, deuxième round, j'ai l'impression que Gaethje va gagner, man. Je pourrais dire que Barboza pourrait sortir une grosse shot parce que les deux, c'est des top contenders. Les deux, c'est des machines. T'sais, autant je peux dire Barboza va le knocker, mais je pense que Gaethje, man. Il est capable de sortir de quoi de solide, puis je pense qu'il va gagner ce combat-là.
Ouais, gros, c'est probablement le gars qui, malgré le fait qu'il s'est fait genre knocker deux fois à ses trois derniers combats, on peut dire que c'est genre un gars qui a le meilleur chin ever, parce que toutes les fois qu'il s'est fait finir, c'est genre une accumulation de dommages absolument incroyable que personne n'aurait pu survivre, puis là, Chris, un man donné, un man donné, ça lâche, puis encore là, il est encore debout, c'est juste le ref qui a un peu pitié, tu sais. Puis Chris,
ouais, c'est ça, exact.
Edson Barboza, pas le gars qui gère le mieux à pression, man. Tu sais, le monde qui ont couru non, après ça. Lui, à part Benil Dariush qui a sorti un flying knee out of nowhere dans un combat qui perdait, il a pas battu beaucoup de gars qui mettent la pression. Fait que c'est vraiment ça, tu sais. Il va-tu, genre, sortir Gaethje de ses sens, puis genre, l'allumer bien raide avec un spinning kick ou quoi, puis genre, juste le knocker cold, exact. Cold, ou sinon, il va avoir une estime maniaque qui va y courir après tout le long, puis ça sera pas facile.
Fait que toi, dans le fond, tu penses que Gaethje va gagner?
Ouais, j'ai pas mal un feeling que Gaethje va gagner ce combat-là, ouais, man.
Moi aussi.
La pression, puis le fait que c'est un fou, le gars. Le gars, il va littéralement, comme t'as dit, traverser toutes les niaiseries qu'il va manger, puis va tout défendre avec sa face en espérant donner des plus gros.
C'est ça, exactement.
Pis Barboza, autant technique qu'il est, si tu le forces à brawler, il est ben trop game, là, avec, là.
Ouais, c'est ça, exact. C'est sûr que ça va être un assez bon fight, ça, on se le dit, là, ça va être un bon fight, ça.
Ouais, ça va être un pis, classique, man. C'est genre de combat-là, man, que... Chris, tu lances sur ton calendrier, man, quand tu vois, quand tu
t'en vas voir. Il nous rappelle pourquoi on aime le sport, tu sais. Ça nous rappelle, OK, c'est pour ça que j'aime ça, le sport.
Ah ouais, tu le sais, est-ce que c'est pas la manière de se battre pantoute? Faut pas faire ça dans la vie du tout. Mais c'est le fun de voir un gars qui est assez cave pour le faire, genre.
C'est ça, pis surtout à ce niveau-là, man. Le gars, il s'est rendu à ce niveau-là en se battant comme ça. Fait faut lui donner, le gars, c'est un malade. Il est bon, c'est un fou. C'est ça, on aime ça, nous autres. C'est ça qu'on veut voir aussi, hein.
Yes, ben Chris, merci Alex, merci d'avoir pris le temps de me donner des news, puis avant de partir, y a-t-il une page pour ton gym ou de quoi, là, quelque chose qu'il faut suivre pour avoir toutes les nouvelles?
Ouais, vous pouvez nous suivre sur la page TriStar Gym Rive-Nord sur Facebook, puis vous pouvez aussi nous suivre sur la page d'Instagram TriStar Gym _RN. Fait que vous êtes les bienvenus à nous suivre. Dans le fond, on va essayer de mettre le plus de contenu possible. Fait qu'à partir du 1er avril, on va être actifs. Puis Faber, moi je t'invite, si jamais tu veux venir passer, rouler avec les boys, puis t'es le bienvenu même n'importe quand. Puis ceux qui veulent passer à notre gym, si vous êtes dans le coin de Mirabel, dans le coin de la Rive-Nord, ben vous êtes les bienvenus à passer au Super Gym. Ça va être un gym sacoche, puis on est en train de vous livrer de quoi de solide, fait que tout le monde est les bienvenus.
Yes, c'est clair que quand je suis dans le coin, je passe te voir, man. Puis merci beaucoup d'avoir donné des news. On se reparle, le gros, avant ton prochain combat, man.
Yes, sir. Merci à toi, man. Salut.
Fait plaisir, mon John. Bye.
Ciao.
Voilà, c'était ça le podcast pour cette semaine. J'espère que vous avez apprécié. Un gros merci à Jesse Ronson. Thank you very much, Jesse, for taking the time to speak with me. Vraiment très apprécié. On a hâte de ce combat-là. Ronson contre Jourdain, ça va barder le 11 avril prochain. Un gros, gros merci à Alex Morgan aussi d'avoir pris le temps. Je sais qu'il est très occupé ces temps-ci, justement, dans la finalisation de ce gym-là, de s'assurer que tout est beau, tout est prêt pour l'ouverture qui est ça lundi 1er avril. Donc, gros merci d'avoir pris du temps, Alex. Allez voir la page Tristan Rive-Nord sur Facebook et sur Instagram. Les gens de la Rive-Nord, si vous cherchez une place pour vous entraîner, allez vous abonner. C'est la nouvelle place. Ça va avoir un très beau personnel entraîneur, une très bonne qualité d'entraînement. Et puis, ça va être à la coche. Allez visiter le gym Ultra Morgan si vous êtes de la Rive-Nord. Un gros merci à Alex. Un gros merci à Jesse. Pour ma part, si vous voulez me suivre sur les médias sociaux, tout est titre. Fait que amusez-vous, puis on se voit la semaine prochaine pour un autre épisode du Faber Cast.